Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So yeah. Myself, Fen.
And myself, Big Z, we're inside.
And you are listening to This Is Spoke. And this episode is all about beauty standards. So, Z, you're looking pretty beautiful.
I do try, you know.
You try?
You know,
I feel like it's just natural.
Well, effortless. Effortless for you. It's effortless for you. I'm one of those people who have to put in a bit more work. You know what I mean? Like, you're a Messi, I'm a Ronaldo.
Right. So the concept of beauty is one which has morphed throughout time, taking on various guises as society's perception of what is beautiful becomes influenced by wider cultural factors. This time we're going to be chopping it up all about what is beautiful. What is beautiful to you?
Everything.
Yeah.
The world.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes it's left out of the debate when talking about beauty. That there are pressures that us men have to face.
Right.
You know, it's not all about you guys, man. Sometimes society has perpetuated that the ideal man is muscular and toned, which I am definitely not.
But the role of media is also to play here, right? So influencing society's view of what is deemed attractive and beautiful.
The price of beauty has consistently remained a thread throughout the years, yeah? People bleaching their skin. To also the attitude on social media to influence travelling to different countries in search for a cheaper surgery. Yeah, all having mad implications on your self-esteem, your self-love and your self-care.
So make sure to stay tuned because this episode is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
B-E-A-utiful.
Or we might get a little bit ugly. We are joined by the beautiful, amazing, lovely ladies, NASAP. Yeah. I'm Hanila. Welcome, my people.
Hello.
Hi.
So, quick one. Run through what you guys do on a day-to-day basis.
Who do you want to go? Shall I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. I'm a fashion stylist, film photographer, and I run a platform called Girl Gang. And I also do other little bits and bobs. Like I make carnival costumes and clothes and, yeah.
And she has the most epic nails.
Thank you.
In the studio.
I can confirm they are very
epic. They are epic.
Yeah. My name is Maha Neela, or you guys can call me Neela because we're friends. I am a photographer, director, an artist manager, and many, many other things. Like I DJ and I run like a consultancy company, and basically I just help artists tell stories in different ways.
Female bosses in the studio today. How do you feel to be a male in this female boss situation?
I feel like I'm just going to soak in all the info that you can give me today.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you lot play the boss role because that's what's going on. We're saying we're talking about beauty standards today.
We're going to be chopping it up about beauty standards. Mm-hmm. So, main question, what is beauty to you?
To me, beauty is just being confident and comfortable with who you are and not giving a shit about what anybody thinks or what anybody else has to say about you.
Yeah. And how long do you think it took you to get to that stage?
I think I've always had a piece of it in me when I was younger, but then as I grew older and I don't know, I just became more confident within myself and I dress kind of wild. So it always came from that, like my dress sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You dress epic, but
thank you.
For me, I think beauty is something that comes from within. It's, not necessarily like a thing that is only related to your looks. I think it's related to like your actions and how you move through life and how you treat people. And yeah, I definitely also think that having beauty and recognizing your own beauty is like the key. So self-confidence and all those things are like really important, I think, to feel beautiful. And yeah, for me, that's definitely something that was like instilled in me. But I think I'm always going to have, and I think everybody's always going to have like insecurities about their external beauty and things like that. But it's all just like a state of evolution.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting you say it's not just about your looks.
Mm.
Just because we've become so obsessed with focusing on image.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, you know, it's the first thing that you see, obviously, before you get to know a person. So it's always, we're always going to judge people based off of their appearance, right? Whether or not it's like looking at someone and guessing what we think their job is or what kind of person they are or anything like that. Everything's really based around like your first assumptions and your first look at people. So because of that and probably social media and other things that are now like present in our modern world, I think appearance has just become like a fixation for people. And it's kind of how we validate like ourselves now.
Mm.
It's tough, man. It's tough. Yeah. I think that what we consider beautiful is always changing.
Yeah.
I feel like in society, it's always been like perpetuated onto us in different ways, being portrayed in different ways. You know what I mean? Like through like media and films.
Yeah.
And, do you know what I mean? Definitely. Like if you go back 50 years ago, what they considered beautiful is very different to what we consider beautiful now. Do you guys have an idea of what society thinks is beautiful, like in the UK?
Now, even now compared to like 5 years
like
ago.
Like going off stereotypes, obviously. Okay. You have to generalize, innit? So
in
the UK.
I don't know.
There's different opinions, innit?
I feel like everyone wants to look like a Kardashian.
Yeah.
You've got white girls that want to be black, and then you've got black girls who want to be white.
Yeah.
And then like the whole like lip fillers and all of that stuff, like the Botox, and that's what everybody's on now, and that's what a lot of men are appealed to. It's weird, like, and it just really blows my mind. And it's just like you got really young girls that are getting their lips done, and it's just like, and even like black girls are getting their lips done. Like I know so many girls, like light skin, dark skin, doing their lips, and it's just like, why?
Yeah.
Like why would you even do that to yourself? And it's like you can't maintain these things. Like with the Kardashians, they've got pee at the end of the day. Like they can afford to get lip fillers every single day, every single week if they wanted to. And then you've got people and they're doing this thing, and it's like their top lip looks like a brick. And it's just like you don't have that lifestyle to be keeping up with it. And then you're young, and then in like 10 years time you're going to be looking busted. And it's just like I just it doesn't make sense. It's like everyone just wants to look plastic basically. When back in like the 90s, the natural thing was what was going on. When you look at like the artists and whatever, people then, it was like they barely had any makeup.
Yeah.
Like there's no lip fillers, there's no like bum injections or breast implants or whatever it is. And yeah, everyone just wants to look like a little mini Kardashian. That's how I think.
It's crazy how it's just like the UK just follows suit with America though.
Yeah.
Like, cause that's what is like prevailing in the US. It's like, that's now what we find beautiful. It's like, even though we're like our own country with our own culture and stuff, I feel like the 90s is probably the last time that we had like our own British standard of beauty.
Yeah.
And even then it was messed up. It was like Kate Moss and supermodels and like super, super skinny, white English rose type of beauty was like what people wanted to aspire to be like. But now, because social media has made like the US and the UK like almost interchangeable as far as like culture, media and all those things, it's like now we just follow what America is doing. Like more so, I feel. But even then, when I think about growing up, like I'm from Jamaica, India and Ghana.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, it was very like beautiful to be like Caribbean from Jamaica. I never really wanted people to know that I was from Africa. Like it just felt like if you were African, it wasn't as attractive. It wasn't as like beautiful. And like that has now totally shifted where there's like this huge influx of people like being proud of their identities and being from Africa and African beauty and like what that looks like. And I think that's coming from like music again, like culture, music, films and everything like you were saying really drives like, because it's all about representation basically. It's about what we see, and then whatever we see is what we think is like beautiful, even subconsciously.
Yeah, I just feel like a lot of people are conditioned. We were talking about this earlier, and it's just like, I remember growing up as well, it was like African versus Caribbean, and it's like, we're all black at the end of the day. We all come from Africa, so what is the beef with the, you know, and
Because you mentioned, like, in the last 5 years, like, so much has changed.
Yeah, so much has changed, I think.
What do you think has changed?
I think that, like, 5 years ago, so what am I now? I'm 26, right? So when I was 21, I was at uni. And, yeah, it's still, there wasn't much representation on screen, like, nowhere near what we're seeing now. Like, 5 years ago, I was in London at university, going on the tube and stuff, I would never see black people on, like, posters. I wouldn't see, like, I wouldn't see, like, a black host on television ever. And, like, that in itself has literally created a new normal for people, I think. And, like, it sets a standard of, like, okay, that's a viable thing for me that I can do, or, like, I can look like this or I can look like that. Whereas I think not seeing that in the past, like, it definitely affects your sense of self as a person. And, like, that then obviously affects how you feel about beauty. Like, now, because it's just more sort of socially acceptable in the world to just see, like, black people being part of the conversation. Not, I don't think, not in an equal way, but, like, we're now, it's like every brand, every campaign, it's like there will be a person of colour, of course, because it's like they know now that, like, they have to do that. Otherwise, they're going to get, like, a backlash. But even just that on its own, I think it does something, like, for our identity and for our standards of beauty. Like, I've got younger cousins that are, like, 6 years old, and they're reading their books at school, and there's, like, black little characters that are, like, black and brown. And I'm like, that's crazy.
Amazing.
Because I never, ever, ever saw that.
Yes.
Unless you physically go and buy those books. Because I remember my stepmom's mum, she's a childminder, and she's got loads of, like, black children's books. It's like, unless you give it to your children, you're not just going to find it readily available at school. It's mad.
It is so crazy. I'm trying to think of, like, what we had, like, growing up as a, it was just like Sugar Babes, basically.
Scary Spice.
Spice Girls. Mel B.
Jamila?
Jamelia.
Jamelia.
She's a presenter now, isn't it?
We
had Lenny Henry show. Do you remember the Lenny Henry show? And Little Miss Jocelyn. And then before that, what was that show called? The old one. It'll come back to me, huh? The Roma Quiz. Yeah, Desmond's and the Roma Quiz.
That's classic.
That's a real classic.
The Black family, the Proud family.
That was so good.
And the theme tune for that.
Solange. I found that out, like, recently as well.
And then Tory Lanez remixed it and made it into a banger. Listen, back onto beauty. I think there's a big pressure. Yeah. For me, one of the main things I've kind of, like, realized growing up, I'm 23 now, that a woman's body has the definition of what we consider beautiful in a woman's body has completely changed. I feel like nowadays it's small waist, like, like, big hips. You know what I'm saying? Like, your bum has to be incredibly massive compared to your body, which it wasn't like that back in the day. Like, my mom's from Africa, so my mom is a naturally curvy lady. And when I was young, like, I remember my mom just telling me stuff like, people used to call her, like, fat ass, but not in a good way. She's fat. You're fat. Yeah. In school, my mom used to, like, wear, like, mad skirts to try hide her body. And because she's, this is back in Africa. She used to get dissed about being curvy. Whereas now it's like,
people are paying
money.
But
it's mad
how it's changed.
Like, where in Africa is your mum from?
Also Sierra Leone.
So even there, like, I definitely think, though, like, any African country that's been colonised, like, the standards of beauty are, in Europe, in the West, are applied even there. Even when you're in Africa, you're there, everybody around you, like, I'll be in Ghana, everyone around me is black, but all the adverts is white people. And so, again, it's like, it's crazy because it's like a real mental thing of, like, even though you can have all the representation in the world, because, like, sometimes I think, like, even me, I'll try and put it all on just the representation here in the UK of, like, the reason we have these ideas is because we never really had representation. But even in places where it's, like, all black, that idea, that European standard of beauty, is so pervasive that it can still, like, affect you in Sierra Leone, where everyone's black, everyone has that type of body, and yet it's like you're fat. Which is crazy.
But the thing that is interesting for me is that now it's completely 360. And that's, like, the new thing. Everyone's squatting now. Do you know what I mean?
But sometimes it's not even realistic. Like, because at the end of the day, like, my weight fluctuates. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've always had big thighs, big bum. And then it's just like, my belly is not always going to be flat like that. Do you get what I'm saying? Sometimes it's got a bit of jelly. Sometimes it doesn't. It's like, if your body is naturally like that, and it's like, not many people's body are naturally like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, if you're a dancer or if you do, like, any kind of sports, then yeah, you could be curvy and then have a flat stomach. And it's very unrealistic. And if you've got people going and doing crazy stuff, like dying because of they've done the bum injections or whatever the hell it is. Yeah, waist trainers, all that stuff. Even I got sucked in. I was wearing a waist trainer for a bit. Mm. And I was like, hold on a second, why am I doing that? Mm. Like, I'm comfortable with my body. Like, I don't give a shit if anyone's going to say, whatever, because my belly or whatever. I'll still wear fucking crop top. I don't give a shit. Like, and I feel everyone should feel like that. And it's not realistic to have a fucking... A bum that's like 45 inches and then you've got the tiniest waist. Like,
And
no belly.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And that's what my thing is. I think that nowadays you go on Insta and you're just fed with it. Like,
you see.
My explore's calm because I just like pictures of food all day, yeah?
So, me too. Like, food or nails.
My shit is bare cheeseburgers and that. But
mine's bare lobsters.
Like, I might go on my boys explore and it's just pure girls in bikinis looking. Yeah. Like,
I don't know why that's my explore as well.
And it's not realistic. Like, some of them are getting in the Photoshop. Some of them are...
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Like, exactly.
The other day, was it Camila Cabello? She posted a huge, like, post about how fake is the new reality. And how we're seeing, we're trying to become, but we can't become something that isn't real.
We'll never be able to become.
No. Never.
Like, you can't make your pores disappear in real life. No. They exist.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just blur something out. Yeah. But ultimately, it's like, does it even matter? Because all we see is that online anyway. Like, so, you know, like, there's, I don't know if you guys have heard of her or it. It's called Lil Michaela. It's like a... Oh, okay, it's basically like
a fake
Instagram
influencer
that is completely,
a dolly.
Computer generated, right? So she's not real. None of her is real. She's not a real person. But she gets brand deals. She's on the cover of magazines. She's doing all these things. Basically, their concept, I think, is that they're trying to show, like, what's the difference? Because everything we see is so fake anyway.
It's true.
What's the difference between this Lil Michaela and another person, Kylie Jenner, when their photos are both edited? Nothing that you see is actually real. They're still out here, like, promoting brands, getting brand deals, talking about issues that they care about. And, like, in reality, like, it's actually, we're so close to that anyway that it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah.
And that was what was crazy, because, like, at first when they launched it, they had it for, like, a year and people didn't know if she was real or if she was fake. They were like, is this a real person that's just Photoshopped their pictures? Or is this, like, a completely just fake Photoshop image? Like, and then it turned out that it was revealed that she was fake, but then everyone was, their whole, like, response was just, like, actually, like, what difference does it make if she's real or if she's not real? Because all we see, we're never going to meet her in real life. All you're seeing is this thing online. And actually, that's, like, pretty much what we're doing with ourselves. Like, we're editing things to that level.
Do you think that this will shift? There will come a point where we're, like, actually...
I feel like things always change. Like, I don't know. Obviously, I think Kylie Jenner has the most followers on Instagram, so it's not easy, you get me?
Yeah.
But... at the same time, I don't know, I feel like we always fluctuate. Like, you know, one day we're not allowed to wear boot cuts, and then one day we will wear boot cuts.
Yeah, it's true. Come back.
It's true.
I'm a big brother. I'm a boot cut lover, yeah?
So
when man was pissing the boot cuts, I eventually... This is not beauty, but do you know what I'm saying?
It's beautiful.
I got big thighs, innit? I can't wear skinny jeans. If I wear skinny jeans, I'm not moving to the function. I'm lying down in bed.
I'm finished.
But I actually have a pair of tight jeans now. Something that I used to diss man for wearing. But I wear that now.
Yeah.
I like it as well. I can't lie. Yeah. I blatantly like it.
Yeah.
Like, you can see my shoes a bit better.
Yeah.
It's not like there's not just bare wind flowing everywhere. But I made that decision. I know I made that decision because everyone dissed it. If everyone wasn't dissing boot cuts, I'll probably still be wearing my boot cuts with my 110s.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
So,
and that's for me as a man.
Can you move?
It's fashion trends, though, isn't it?
Go to the
they
function.
Come and go.
Yeah.
I can go to the function.
He can go to the function.
Listen, I get slim fit, stretch.
stretch.
So it stretches. But there's the ones that like curve in. I can't do that. You the proper ones. Where...
Okay, yeah. Oh, the straight. Do the straight leg thing.
Yeah, straight leg. Mm. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's just like that.
But do you feel? Do you feel like men? Because like we're talking a lot about women. Yeah, but of course. What about men? Like, ooh, obviously there's things like that. Everyone's like, yeah.
I don't know. I think dead, for men it's different. Like for men, in terms of like body, like the image of your body, it's either you're wedge or you're not in it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, some people are attracted to wedge man. Some people aren't attracted to wedge man. Mm. So I feel like we're lucky like that. We know. I feel like obviously there's that side for women. Like there's men that are not attracted to women that are super toned, and women that aren't super toned. Do you know what I mean? So I think there's both sides. But I feel like the pressure, there's less pressure on me as a man to have my body looking good than a woman. Mm. And I think that comes down to like our roles in society.
Yeah.
Like
if
a woman's role in society, as some people look at, is to become a mother and to be a wife. That's why I would think there's more pressure on how you look, because that's what your life is being determined by, the man that chooses
whether
you.
Whether or not you're attracted to a man.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas a man, it's like you're supposed to go out, get your money, do your thing. So it doesn't really matter how you look, because if you've got your money in order, you'll just get any woman you want.
Yeah.
And we even see that represented in life. Like how many old rich men are with young, beautiful women?
Yeah.
But how many old ladies are with young, attractive males? It's a bit...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's, I feel like it comes down to society, and I think for men, our thing's less about beauty. It's more about like the clothes, like the drip, like having like your Gucci shoes and your mad chain and all these things that showing wealth. But then there's guys that are effortless with it that just wear a Primark trackie and they look amazing. So
it's about having the confidence as well to just wear whatever you want.
Yeah. And I think that that comes back to beauty.
Yeah.
Massively. Yeah. And I kind of wanted to go onto the topic of like conforming.
Yeah.
Because as a kid, I know that like, I grew up in quite a white area.
Mm.
And I know that I would straighten my hair, I'd try and be as white as possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are your experiences of conforming?
Boy, when I was like growing up, it was mad. When I was in school, it was like, oh, you're not white, you're not black. Like, what are you? You're confused. Da, 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 da. And it's like my grandma, she permed my hair at a young age. So my hair was always straight. Then growing up in like secondary school, I would always straighten my hair. Then I started to wear weave and stuff like that. And then it was like all throughout when I was, because I've worked in retail, HR, customer services, telesales. And I remember I worked in... Selfridges, and I went, had my interview or whatever. I had just normal black hair, and then I got the job. And then like I think like a week later, I come with like, I rolled up with some red weave, like some red hair, and they weren't having it. Like they weren't having it at all. And I think when I got to that, I was like 18, and I was just like at a point where I was like, fuck that. Like I'm not gonna try to fit in to work in any of these places, because this is not my destiny. I'm not planning to stay here. This is just a paycheck to me. Yeah. And then the last job I had, it was for BT. It was in like the telesales thing.
Yeah.
And then I was off for a few days because one of my uncles passed away. And then I came back and I had braids. And literally, like a few days later, they fired me. And they tried to say some next bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think even, like a week prior to that, there was a little banter going around in the office or whatever. And like through emails and whatever. And they was like calling me ghetto and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like all these little microaggressions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's like... Yeah, when I was younger, I did like the straight hair thing or whatever. And it was only until maybe the last like 4 years where I embraced my hair. I was like, rah, my hair's actually sick. I didn't realise my hair was so curly and it was so nice.
Yeah.
But definitely growing up, I felt like I had to be a certain way. And then, I don't know, even from a young age, I was like, fuck this. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Well, you were around a lot of black people when you grew up.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, because like none of my parents are white. My mum's half, my dad's black, they're black. My grandma's black. My school, mainly black people. College, mainly black people. So, yeah, but it was like, it's a thing where it's like the other black people, the other black girls, they were straighten their hair, or some of them might wear braids, some of them might wear weave.
Mm-hmm,
so it was a thing where everyone's kind of just conditioned to look like this, like, European kind of person. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With the weave and whatever. Even though I'm wearing a wig right now and I wear straight hair or whatever, I switch out my hair. My hair is one thing that I always change and I embrace that.
Yeah.
You might see me natural hair. You might see me with a long wig. You might see me with braids.
Mm-hmm.
You might see me short hair or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. For me, I was like the kind of the opposite, where I was like literally the only black person.
Yeah.
Pretty much for most of my childhood until I got to university. Mm. And even then, all my friends were white. And it was just like, as because I was in uni in London, I started like meeting other people in the creative scene and then got to a point where I found like black friends. Yeah. But genuinely before that, I was like always just the one. And because of that, like, the closest would be, like, someone who was Asian. But even then, like, I'm half Indian, but I don't look necessarily Indian. So I just felt like growing up, I was so confused as to, like, where I was from. And I didn't have, like, black family around me, not until I got much older. So I grew up with, like, my mom, who's got jet black straight, poker straight hair. Even the like, things about, you talked a lot about hair. Like, hair is so important, like, within the black community. Yep. And it's something that, like, for me, I just didn't get. And I remember, like, my mum would take me to, like, we go to Tooting and we go to, like, the hair shop. And I just see the way everyone would look at me and I just feel so, like, I don't belong here. Yeah. Like, they'd be looking at me like, what are you doing here? And looking at my mum like, who are you to her? Like, we don't understand what this is. Like, why is this Indian woman here? And even noticing that, like, the dynamic of hair shops, like, Indian people run hair shops and it's then there's like nuts. African people and I'd be there like, this is like both sides of me. I've got this Ghanaian lady who could be my auntie doing my hair and I'm buying my hair from this Indian man who could be my uncle. And I always just felt like really weirdly in the middle but not understanding either side of it and how like it worked. So the only thing that I could latch onto was like pretty much English culture. So I was like always trying to assimilate and be as close as I could to like my friends, have straight hair like my friends. It wasn't until I was in university that I was 20 and I wore my hair natural. And even then, it was only my two white friends encouraging me, being like, you need to just
that's
your
like
hair
that's literally like me.
And I'd be like, no, I hate it. Like, I hate it. Yeah.
I'm 27 years old. Do you know what I mean? It's mad.
And then even then, can you imagine? I used to wash my hair, so it was curly, straighten it, then curl it again.
Oh.
Because I was only okay with it if it was like
loose curls.
Loose curls.
And not like an actual afro.
Afro,
and it's like the amount, when I think about how many hours of my life I lost
and just straightening hair.
And how much money.
Yeah.
And just all this shit.
Like how much you damage
when I'm like, I was just trying to get close to what it already is. Mm. And it's just crazy because I never like, My family always like, we love your hair. Why do you straighten your hair? Oh, you should have your curly hair, blah, blah, blah. But it was just like, I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to stand out. Because when I did, if I ever did, like, my mom would take me and someone would braid my hair, everyone would be like, oh, what's that?
Yeah.
Oh, your hair is so weird. Yeah. Can I touch it?
Blah, ignorant. Blah,
blah. Yeah, and it was just like, I didn't want to stick out like a sore thumb. I just wanted to be normal like everyone else, you know? And, like, that feeling was genuinely with me until I was like, much older in the last 5 or 6 years when I met other black women and I saw their beauty and then I saw it like reflected in myself and I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna wear my hair in an afro because this person's got their hair in an afro and it looks really good. And that was when it changed for me. But again, it's just like, it's all about, I guess, the environments that you're in, but also it's like what we're seeing, because you were surrounded by black people and you still had that experience and I was surrounded by white people. I still had that experience.
Well, it's like, I guess it's like governing voice of what is beautiful.
Yeah,
100%.
And I think like that just needs to change. It still needs to change.
Yeah,
because I still feel like people still feel that they need to straighten their hair. People still feel that they need to
definitely
be more, like you said, European, because that is ingrained in us massively.
And even when we do see representations of it, of blackness on, and not even specifically blackness, because like I always talk about blackness because obviously I'm black, but also like I'm Asian too. And that, like, for me, is like we've come so many strides forward when it comes to like the representation of black people in the media. But like, I name me a South Asian pop artist, famous musician.
Nah.
They don't exist.
Not over here.
No, like, and yet though, in India, like, obviously they're out here, like, there's millions and millions of people, like, they're killing
Bollywood
it, but,
and that.
But there's like huge Asian populations in Africa, in America, in the UK,
and
yet
definitely.
Massive in the UK, and yet like we haven't seen those people like come up. Like the only person I can think of who's East Asian would be like Michael Phantom, like now.
Where's MIA from? Where is she from?
Yeah, she's from Sri Lanka.
Okay.
And she was like one of the only, I remember growing up
literally
and seeing
the only,
her. And she looks just like my mom as well. And I'd always be like, oh my God. And it was crazy when I ended up, I started working for XL, which was the label that she obviously was signed to. And that was a crazy experience because it was like getting close to something and seeing it like from the other side, then actually like just realizing how rare she was within, like,
trust me,
she had to be super like excellent and like phenomenal and different to make it. She couldn't just be like, I mean, there's a million white pop singers that all sound the same, look the same.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, to be an Asian pop star in the UK, you have to be like
different,
totally next level.
Different. She was international.
Yeah, she was. And very global as well.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's weird. Like, I feel like, I talk about, and it's myself, I talk about, blackness and representation all the time, but like the other side of me too. And also just people of mixed ethnicity in general. Like, I don't see them on anything really.
No, you don't.
And when I grew up, like, I didn't even know I was mixed race, because mixed race to me was like was half black and half white,
half caste or whatever. I remember that poem in school.
I don't know who I am. Half caste. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh my god.
And everyone used to be like, "You're confused. I feel so bad. Like, wait, what am I? Like, what am I?"
That was so good.
You know what's mad? Yeah. When you lot are talking about your hair, it's crazy because I can actually relate. Like, I can actually relate. Like, when I was in school, like, obviously I didn't used to straighten my hair.
I tried to do the curtains.
I as a joke. Like, a couple girls from my school came to my yard and they straightened my hair as a joke. And then they put it on BBM. Man thought I was a girl. So one brother put it on his BBM saying, he broadcasted my pin and said, add this girl, she's on joints. And I was, that is so funny.
That is deep.
Then a bruh actually added me like, yo, brother. Wow. Like, yo, B, I heard your, I'm like, bro, man's a bruh. Like,
you're getting
what? Yeah, so that's when I did that as a joke. But more time, my hair was always afro. I used to have braids, all these things. And people used to look at me mad. Like, even my black friends, like, Rob, why are you not just getting a level one, like, in the shape? Why are you letting your hair go that mad? I used to have a mad afro like this. Mm-hmm. And people used to always touch my hair, come to me, let me see your afro, man. Oh, let me touch your afro.
How did you feel about it?
I mean, when I was young, I didn't care. I thought you look like my hair, innit?
Yeah.
Now when I'm older, I look back and I think, right, you lot are mad ignorant. But even now, I'll go to, like, if I go to a different country or stuff, or if I go places, people are staring at my hair. Like, I walk through an airport, people, I can see you're looking at me, you're bugging me. But why are you looking up? Oh, you're looking at my hair. You can't believe that my hair is like this curly and stuff. Like, it goes, like, I just wake up, shake my head, and it's like this.
Yeah.
Like,
I definitely think that's a big thing for black men. It's like, you can only have like a short, like, neat hairstyle.
Yeah,
like,
that's
to have
it.
Locks, to have a fro.
Cameras, and that's it.
Yeah.
Even cameras, though, like, for people, white people, it sort of like sends this trigger of like, thug.
That's what I want to get into the
of blackness in beauty. I think is a massive thing, like, even just talking about my mum, like just about being a curvy lady, where that used to get this and now that's like respected. Having big lips, people used to cuss people for having big lips.
Trust I used to get cussed, I used to get rinsed in school, but now that's the main thing, they're paying. How does that make you lot feel?
Do you think it's a good thing that they're at least admiring it, or do you think it's bad because they're appropriating it?
It's bad because appropriation, like, you know, appreciation and appropriation are different things, firstly. And like, if you're appropriating something, you're, you know, choosing to engage in someone's culture for your own personal gain, like, for your, whether that's financial, whether it's clout, whether it's whatever. And like, you're not actually paying homage to that culture because, you know, like, there are some people, for example, like, even when you talk about cultural appropriation, I think of like bindis. Like, that's one thing that, like, it's really interesting because obviously when you see a white person wearing a bindi, you're like, appropriation. But then, like, what if I see a black person wearing a bindi, like, how does what does that mean? And like, I've realized, like, in basically because I would wear bindis and people wouldn't know that I was Indian and they'd be like, you're appropriating. And I like really went into like, what is cultural appropriation? And from what I've learned, it's like, you're only able to culturally appropriate if you're in a position of privilege. So like, to be a black person and to engage in like Indian culture in that way or something, because it looks nice, it's decorative, which it is in Indian culture too, is like, it's not the same because you're not from in a position of privilege. Like, for me, I don't really have issue with people taking from other cultures unless they're somebody who's in a position of privilege and they're only doing that to benefit like themselves. And I feel like
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down.
So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, that's a,
the
that's
Kardashians,
a good way to put it.
Yeah. That's good. All these people.
True.
It's like they're not appreciating another culture.
No, not at all.
They're literally trying to own it, like boxer braids. Like,
yeah,
sorry,
mad.
What? Yeah. They're box braids.
Bitch, what?
Honey. Like, literally, the fact that Kim Kardashian can get cane row and then the next day it will be on the cover of Vogue. Like, these new braids, blah, blah, blah. It's insulting. Like, it's actually just insulting. And, like, I feel like that whole, the whole cultural appropriation, like, thing now, it's just so, like, there's so many different ways in which white people do it to like so many different cultures.
What you're saying is it's true. Like, obviously it's a generalization, so it's hard to, like,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, but what you're saying is very important. I just think what one thing about beauty for me is that it's mad because they're appropriating it, yeah, but they're also doing it because they think it looks nice. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like, fashionable.
It's fashionable.
Yeah.
So no, it's just culture vultures. That's
yeah.
The
it's
bottom
not that
line.
They think
the
blackness, it looks nice.
What's making the blackness become appropriate now? Why is it become? Why is it now that the features that black women have?
No, it's been.
So you think it's been?
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? A thing where it's like they despise us so much, but they really want to be us. So now it's just like they just given in. Mm-hmm. They're just like, fuck it. Yeah. Let's get the sunbed. Let's get all the injections. Let's just get it going. Let's get the cane rows. Let's just do it. If you can't beat them, join them. That's what they're on. Yeah. That's what I think.
It's definitely not a new thing, though. Nah. From the beginning of slavery, like, there were things that they took that even now we think are invented by white people that were actually invented by black people.
Yeah.
There are things that, like, you know, are part of what is the norm, which is overwhelmingly Western culture, that actually are like rooted in Africa and things like that. So I don't even think it's a new thing. I just think it's more amplified now because we have social media. So we're just more aware of, like, oh wow, everyone's on this now.
There's things that black people do to emulate certain like white features, like bleaching and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think about that?
Boy,
so. Sorry, before we start, can we separate, bleaching, skin bleaching, from, like, wearing weaves, wearing wigs, straightening your hair?
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, because, but I always feel like people try and put those two things, like, because bleaching, obviously, you're lightening your skin, but, like, I feel like if you wear a wig or you dye your hair blonde, like, you're not trying to be white.
No.
Well, it depends on
your intention, but
my mom sells
hair, innit? So I know about these things.
Yeah, I love that.
I think it depends on your...
It just depends on what your
vibe
is.
I think it depends on your vibe. On you, yeah, it depends on you. It depends on your vibe. If it's a thing where it's like you're a black girl and you just wear straight hair and you're just on this whole white girl thing, then cool. But if it's a thing where you're expressing yourself, like myself, one day I might wear blonde wig, one day I might wear pink. Do you know what I mean? It depends on who you are. But I think the whole, like, bleaching thing is just crazy to me. And it's like it's a concept of, like, the grass is always green on the other side, because it's like you've got white people, they want to be black, you've got black people that want to be white, because, like, in Jamaica a lot of people are bleaching, and in Africa a lot of people are bleaching, Asia, and I think in a lot of, like, Asian countries, they're putting bleach in the products.
Yeah.
And I know one of my friends, he went to Thailand recently and he's very dark skinned. And he was basically saying he bought a product by accident that had bleach and he was vexed because he was like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's just mad because, like, everywhere you go, it's like, it doesn't matter what race you're from, if you're Indian, Asian, whatever it is, African, it's like darker skin, it's just like a no.
Yeah, globally.
And, yeah, globally.
Yeah.
And And then you've got, it just confuses me. I don't understand.
I feel like it's white supremacy at the end of the day. Like, mm-hmm. it's all about how close you can be to whiteness, to the white man.
Yeah.
Who's like the archetype for what is like good in this world. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's actually just reveals how powerful like colonialism was in that, definitely. Like,
and still is,
and yeah. still is in yeah. that, like, it continues to affect, like, you know, somebody in Africa surrounded by black people still feels, and the way that society actually is engineered around them is that they will have better opportunities if they have lighter skin mm. and if they're closer to whiteness, yeah. even though yeah. that's not physically possible because yeah. both parents have dark skin and all their generations have dark skin. But still, we hold, there's a certain standard of like, if you are lighter, it means you're better, or in some way you're more superior.
Yeah.
And in India, I know that like we have the caste system in India that's been there for thousands of years. So white people did not invent like that idea of like, black people are terrible and white people are the best. They didn't invent that. Like that colorism spectrum of like darker is bad and lighter is good has existed for thousands of years. Like in India, the caste system is literally based on your skin tone. So if you are darker, you're an undesirable. They're literally called undesirables. And it's like you are only allowed, based on your surname, your skin tone, only allowed certain jobs. You cannot yeah. get a different job. You could never, you could be someone from the slums with dark skin. You're never gonna get you're never gonna be a Bollywood star. Ever, yeah. because all the Bollywood stars are Anglo Indians with blonde, with like blue eyes and lighter skin, yeah. and like there are so many, like even within my family, my mum is like darker and my auntie is lighter. So for them, my auntie would be the one that would like most likely get a suitor, more suitors, and be married. Like, and it would be harder to marry off my mum because she's darker skinned, and men and their families don't want to marry into a darker skinned woman because then their children are going to be darker skinned. And it's like, it impacts all of their opportunities that they actually have access to in the world. So it's like, it's not even a thing of necessarily wanting to just be white, but it's more that like, it actually impacts people's lives of like, if I marry a man, if I'm like an Indian woman, and maybe it's not the case as much anymore, but definitely within my family, and if I go back, it's like, if I'm an Indian woman, I should marry an Indian man that also has a light complexion so that we have children that have light complexions so that they have a better chance of going to good schools and they have a better chance of getting married and all of these things. So it's like, it's a really deep, like, global problem. Yeah.
It's difficult.
I was going to say, do you think that, say, give it 50 years, how much will change? Do you think that there will ever be a point where it is equal or not?
No.
No.
I don't. I think, I mean, it's sad, but... Mm. I don't reality. Think I think that's something that's been literally instilled. It will take like 5,000 years or something. You know, time. Like of for like not just like something like in the media or whatever, like media, forget the media, like actually what's instilled within us is like something that has been going on for generations and generations and generations. So it's like, I don't think we're going to get to a point where it's like, yeah, everybody is like, because the reality is that like, if you're working somewhere in Nigeria and you've got dark skin and the other person's got lighter skin, there's a chance that they're going to have a better chance than you are because of the way they look versus how you look. That's just your reality. So people just adapt to like their reality, and it's sad because it shouldn't be the case. But, you know, I think things will change. Definitely in the West, I think it will be different. Mm. But, and for us, like, as people of the diaspora living in the West, it's different. But if you're deep in the cut in India and you've got the darkest skin out there, like deep, deep, dark, dark brown skin, your life is limited to certain things because of your skin tone if you live in that area. And I think that's why people turn to, like, pills, or they turn to, you know, other products and stuff. But then also, even if you're in like Korea, where people are like very, very light skin, they still have a huge industry of skin lightening, whitening, brightening. You've got brands like Garnier, Nivea, all these huge multinational companies that we have here that will do, Nivea will do tanning cream here, but in Korea, Nivea, bleaching. The same Nivea will do bleaching cream.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And it's like, Koreans are already so...
They're already so...
They already have so light, white skin.
Yeah.
But they still want to be lighter. And there's just, it's just something that even there, that's cultural. If you think about in East Asia, like... what's it called? Oh my God, I don't want to get it wrong. the women that wear like white powdered makeup.
Yeah.
And it traditionally used to be men that dressed up as women. I can't remember what it's called. Geishas. Yeah.
Geishas. Oh, yeah. Yes, that's it.
So like even with that, it's like powdered white makeup. Like whiteness is always associated with like royalty and like, you know,
and purity.
Purity, yeah.
But then again, at the same time, I'm speaking from my experience, like to white people, I'm black. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And they're going to treat me as if I'm black. It doesn't matter how light I am. Yeah, well, yeah, do you know what I mean? And then black people, they're going to be like, oh, well, you're white. And I'm like, no, I'm actually, I'm black. Do you know what I'm saying? And I feel like it's mad to say, but it's like certain times I feel like I'm more black than like dark skinned people. Cause like, I don't know. It's just, it's just weird. I associate myself as a black woman. I don't say, oh yeah, I'm light skinned or I'm mixed race or I'm whatever. And I quite find it very offensive when people call me a lighty. Like that's the worst thing that you could ever say to me. Cause it's, I just find it mad disrespectful. And then it takes me back to when I was in school and it's like, oh, what are you? You're confused. You're not white. You're not black. What are you? Kind of thing. And it's like, that can really mess with somebody.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Especially if they're not comfortable with who they are.
Yeah.
But when did you finally feel beautiful? I feel like we've kind of covered this a little bit, but
probably, I don't know, my teens, like my early teens.
Yeah.
Do you think after school maybe? Because I'm a tomboy, so it's like in school I wasn't really that girl that everybody fancied or whatever, and I used to just always just be in my tracksuit or I used to be in my skirt and my kickers. I weren't really watching no face. I was just to be a boy, and I think after I left school and I kind of like, I don't know, dressed a bit more girly and stuff, and then it's like, oh,
did you get a J. Norman bag?
Oh my
there's
god.
Yes. I still have a JD bag and a Just Do It one. Yeah, I was at the Mandem. Yeah. But I think maybe like the age of like 17, 18, I think, when I first got a boyfriend that time as well. So I think I felt like, oh, I'm a painting. I got a man.
That's mad, isn't it? For me, like I felt like I didn't necessarily, because a lot of I went to school, as I said, in a very white school, so I didn't necessarily really feel beautiful or like I deserved a boyfriend, because that was for all the white girls.
Yeah, literally, yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, there was one girl that every guy fancied. She was light skinned, but she used to wear like really tight clothes and stuff. She was very like sexy. But like I think that was it. That was like, you know, you have like the popular girl and the popular boy.
Yeah.
And I think the popular boy, he was black because my school was black, innit? There's many black people in there. So I think there's only like two. I don't even think there's white people in my class, to be honest with you. I cannot remember.
Wow.
Yeah, right. it wasn't a lot until, and then after I left that year, my school turned into an academy and it's just white, mainly white, because my brother went there as well. But it wasn't the same as when I went there.
It's so interesting, that experience, like, because obviously you having lighter skin and then receiving that treatment from people being like, you're not black, or like, what, where are you from, whatever. It's like, from where I was sitting growing up around the same time, it's like I would have done anything to be light skin,
to have the
like
white features,
that was like, and not even have white features, but just to have lighter skin, to be a light skin, to be a lighty. I was like, I wish I could be a lighty. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
can you imagine?
Yeah. No, I but was like, exactly the same. I wish my nose, when I was a kid, I remember wishing my nose was like slimmer and like.
Yeah. But I mean, I'd look at you and be like, when I was growing up, I'd be like, I wish I looked like you. I wish I had, because I was like this weird, like, I'm not dark skinned, but I'm not light skinned.
Mm. So, but you're beautiful.
Thanks. But I mean, I didn't feel beautiful though until I was like 21. Yeah. So like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And even still, like, I always will have moments where I doubt my own beauty and stuff. Yeah. I know I'm beautiful inside, but that, you know, even with this influx of like everybody's got big batty, everyone's got this and that.
It's true.
I'm like, I'm 26 and I'm seeing girls that are 19 with more womanly bodies.
Yeah.
And what is a womanly body?
But
to me, I feel insecure.
There's something
I'm
in
like,
the food or the water,
so
I'm telling you.
I don't get this. Like, I don't want to feel like, and I think everybody's going to have hang ups like that. But
of course.
It's interesting how, you know, a lot of people would aspire to have a body like mine, but now I'm aspiring, like, I want my bum to grow. I want my, you know, like, it's just interesting how, like you said, the grass is always greener on
the other side. Yeah.
So, do you feel beautiful?
It's mad because you lot all ask each other this question. I'm thinking, as a man, do I ever just wake up and be like, yeah, man's beautiful today?
Come on, the day that you treated yourself to that bracelet. You must have been like,
my dad gave me this, man.
That's so nice.
Well, then when you first wore that bracelet, you must
have... Nah, I thought, rah, VVS happiness, but nah, it's, come on, it's light work. I think I've never been an items kind of... I've always been a plain person.
Yeah.
Plain, the plainest. Like, I don't like wearing mad colours. I've always been in a black tracksuit. I've always been that kind of guy. But I've always been confident in myself. I always thought I was a pretty lad. Do you know what I mean? Because my mom's beautiful. I thought, if you're beautiful, I should be all right. Do you know what I mean? But no, I think for guys, it's less like that we look at ourselves and say, yo, I'm beautiful, or I'm attractive. Because everything's just based on objects for us. I feel like. Yeah. I feel like everything's just about like how
like...
much money man makes. And
yeah,
like,
no, I've never true.
When I was in school, I wasn't thinking, obviously I was trying to move to girls and stuff, like, you know what I mean? Like, I was trying to be smooth and do my little game, but I was never thinking, I've always been a fat you. I was never like, bro, I need to go lose some weight, man, get some abs to get a girl. Do you know what I mean? Because everything's just been about, like, what's man on? Do you know what I mean? I feel like for men, it's where a lot of, like, our pressure is to become successful.
Yeah. But do you think you would feel the same if you had a receding hairline and your beard didn't connect?
Ooh. I'll be, you know what?
You're very lucky. You've got a full head of hair.
Trust me.
No, my forehead is pop.
You're saying all this. I'm looking at you.
I've got a five finger one.
You're speaking for all men, but I'm like, a lot of men would love to have your hair.
Trust me.
Yeah, but.
Some guys are literally. I hear that. Nah,
the hair thing is. Obviously, I'm lucky. You get me. I got the Africanness in my hair, in my hairline. Yeah.
Yes.
And I know that it's stressful. Some man is like, a couple of my boys right now, they're going through the hairline stress. Like, they can't believe what's going on. Like,
it's the hats.
They keep coming up to me and saying, "Bro, look at my head."
Receding.
But I think that's down to like the way we take care of ourselves. Because certain men, like, they don't really take care of their hair. They wash their head with shampoo every 2 days with hot water.
Do you know what it is? It's wearing caps every single day. That's
that
what
kind of
balls off your head. Because my dad don't have no hair right now. And he just wears that. He's bald. He balded himself off from a long time. Yeah. But if you see where his hairline starts, it's way back there. And this is a man that wears hats all the time. Like, so
it's not. Obviously, I feel like now, like, men are very, a bit more, like, conscious of how they look. Especially with all this drip, all of that that's come through. Now, man, want to be wearing designer and look smooth and wear mad colours. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like it's a bit different. Like, when I was younger, you wear a Ralphie and some True Religion. Yeah.
Trust me.
Oh my gosh.
You could be the most spottiest...
Or Ed Hardy.
...ugliest guy in the world. You look smooth.
I feel like
men are lucky in that aspect.
Yeah.
Because girls, you know what it is with girls? Like, I've always had this argument with girls, yeah? Like, their clothes, like, when they have to buy clothes, it's very different to a guy. Like, when we buy trainers, it's long. Like, obviously, girls wear trainers as well, but you know what I'm trying to say? Like, when we buy our clothes,
have, like, the newest,
like, if you go to, like,
best.
New Look or Next, like, you go to the women's section, you're like, rah, this top is £3. Rah, jeans are £6. Like, that is not how it is for men.
You can still look cute and be wearing Primark.
Trust.
Do you know what I'm saying? But for men, it's not like that. Like, maybe obviously now it's different, but I'm talking about from growing up in the ends and all of that. Like, you had to have the £200 jeans, £150 jeans, the jeans, the trainers that cost £120. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your top has to be £90. Mm-hmm. Like, it was more about the money.
The design
suit alone,
like,
is mad expensive.
£150. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, now I feel it for these little kids. Like, my little brother, when I get him a tech fleece and shoes, it's all coming to like £300. I'm like, raw.
Yeah,
£300 back then. Boy, I would have been
crazy.
Nice. I would have had like 4 Nike track
Trust
shoes.
Me.
Bare Air Forces.
Trust me. When Air Forces were like £50.
That's what I think it is for me. Like, the beauty for a guy was more about the materials. Like, is your Gucci pouch there or something? But I feel like nowadays, like, you see a man coming back from Turkey with the dots in the top of their head because they're getting their hairline thing.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
The dots in
their
head. Go Turkey and do it.
I can't remember what they exactly
hair transplant.
The hair transplant. Yeah.
Because I remember, like, that idea of a hair transplant, it would just make me instantly think of Michael Jackson back in the day.
It makes me think of Wayne Rooney. I don't know if you watch football. But Wayne Rooney had
did he
no
do it?
Hair.
Yeah. And he did it.
Yeah, he did it.
I think he took the hair from his bum.
Mad.
Yeah. I remember it. That was in the news. He had
it.
Because he was young and he had, like, full out receding hairline.
He's angry.
Yeah.
Stressed.
But he was one of the first representations of that, like, man having something done to them. Like, even, like, having surgery, like, when I see a man have surgery, it's like, what were you doing? Like, one of my guys in college, he had surgery on his jaw, and it wasn't like for like it was for like health reasons, but also to like to
cosmetic,
look
better. Right?
And it was just like a weird process. Whereas like if a girl did it, I'd be like, oh, cool, you got
what
your lips done.
What about guys who get the surgery to get abs and things like that?
Oh, yeah, that's just crazy. Nuts. You should go to the gym.
Just go gym.
You just need to go gym. And if the abs ain't coming, bro, accept it. Do you know what I mean?
But do you know what they have now? So there's like lace fronts for beards now for men.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Have you seen them on Insta?
The beard, the hairline.
The hair, it's
mad.
That's sick though. Like, if I was a guy,
that is sick, because ultimately, yeah, like if there's something, women, if there was something you're uncomfortable about, it's socially acceptable for you to like change it.
Yeah.
Whereas for men, it was like,
you're not allowed to do it.
I feel like that's changing now. I'm bald and there's nothing I can do. But now it's like, I can get a beard transplant.
I feel like for men, it's more like, oh, you should accept that. Because you're a man.
Yeah, you should just accept.
Whereas women, it's like, oh, it's all right. You can just do it.
But maybe that's not good.
It's not.
Yeah.
Because it's like...
But at the same time, for me, I think it's good that for as a man, I'm less affected by these things.
Yeah.
Like, don't get it twisted. I'm happy I got a hairline that's there. But if it was to go, I wouldn't do something about it. I would just accept it.
Mm.
But that's because I haven't been conditioned over time to be aware of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like women are more... Like I said, it goes back to our roles in society. I feel like women are consistently... reminded of how they look or what their features are. Whereas a guy, we might not even talk about how I look for a whole month. I might not have one conversation with my friend about my hair or my nails or my belly or, you know what I'm saying? Whereas with girls, that's more of a conversation.
It's coming from men. It's just like, you're not worried about other men judging your appearance. It's like, okay, obviously need to look nice for the ladies or whatever, but that's it.
Yeah.
Or whoever it might be that you want to find you attractive. But then for women, it's like women, we look good for other women and we trying to look good for a man.
I didn't know that
as well.
Women watch other women. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Think about who's like the people that are running these magazines that like only put like skinny white women on the covers like historically, or the ones that will like the circle of doom around someone's stomach. Like, is she pregnant because she's had like two sandwiches and things? Those are all women.
Like, that angers me. When I see those magazines that have that, it actually angers me.
Yeah.
It makes me feel so frustrated because I'm just like, that's just not.
I couldn't believe it. Once I went into their offices and I just looked and I saw the sign female and it was just all women, white women at computers, and I was just like, I never knew it was women that were the ones that were like tearing them down that way. It
comes down to like insecurity as well.
Yeah.
And like people project their insecurities onto other people, and it's like, if you're comfortable with your belly or comfortable with whatever, then do your thing. Shouldn't like have anybody else saying, oh, okay, cool, you can't look like this because of this and da 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 da. People are crazy, man.
Yeah.
Zoo, I think it's time.
It's time. Basically, it's time. On the show, we like to ask our guests to bring in a little item.
Yes.
Yes. So do you guys have your item?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on, who wants to start? Who wants to say it?
You go.
Is it a poem? Is it a song? Is it a piece of literature?
Mine's an album.
Nice.
Mine's a piece of literature.
Yeah, mine's an album. It's Miss Dynamite, A Little Deeper.
Oh.
Ooh, love that.
Yeah, this album is like very special to me because when I was growing up, I think it came out when I was like 10 years old. And like the tunes, they just made me feel so empowered. And like there's some tunes, I feel like it set the tone for how I was going to be treated by men and stuff like that. Because I didn't have a mum growing up with me. I just had my dad and my grandma. So I remember, I can't even remember what tune it is, but it was like proper like a female empowerment. And I was like, I just felt like, I'm not going to let no man diss me.
I love it.
And I really love the fact that she wasn't like overly sexy. She just did her thing. She was just natural. Yeah, she just did her thing. And like, I really respected. I'm glad that I had that kind of music when I was growing up. And like, I used to listen to like Mary J. Blige, Missy Elliott, Aaliyah. Aaliyah went a bit more sexy, but with Miss Dynamite, that album, I hold it very close to my heart because it really did help me through some tough times when I was like growing up as well.
That's such a good one. So mine is, so when I was preparing for this, I thought of this book, and then it's kind of crazy because the author passed away yesterday.
Okay.
Toni Morrison.
That's mad.
Yeah, so the book is called The Bluest Eye, and it's one of her like really seminal works. And basically, like, Toni Morrison, for people that don't know, is just like an incredible author, black woman author who's been writing for a very long time. And if you haven't read anything by her, you definitely should. Mm. But The Bluest Eye is a book about a black family in Ohio in the 1940s, right? Mm. But it's so interesting because it talks about, basically, there's this little girl who grows up in Ohio in the 40s, and every night she just dreams and wishes that she could have blue eyes like the blonde girl in her school or whatever.
I think I've read this, you know.
Yeah, and it's like, it literally is crazy because obviously that's the 40s, but it's so relevant when you read it even now as a young black woman. It's just like so relatable, those feelings of like, I just want to look like anything but me. Like, I just want to look as like this white person. Mm. So I had like a couple of quotes from the book. So the first one was, here was an ugly little girl asking for beauty, a little black girl who wanted to rise up out of the pit of her blackness and see the world with blue eyes. His outrage grew and felt like power. For the first time, he honestly wished he could work miracles. So I think that's her dad, like, sort of seeing how much she was in pain of just like never, the fact that she would never look like how she wanted to look. And then this last one is, in only her tight, tight eyes were left. They were always left. They were everything. Everything was there in them. Thrown in this way into the binding conviction that only a miracle could relieve her. She would never know her beauty. She would see only what there was to see, the eyes of other people.
Yeah,
which is deep, but it's like, it's mad, relevant today.
I think that is true for, I don't think any of us will really ever fully understand our beauty, which is a sad kind of thing.
Yeah, because we always are going to perceive ourselves how other people perceive us.
So that has been Mahanila
and Naysa,
and they have been beautiful.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Hey guys, if you're loving the podcast and want to support the cause, make sure to rate and review us.
Make sure you tell your friends and follow us on Insta and Twitter
at
This Is Spoke Pod.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.